for the life of your car, go Gulf. The Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer present We the People. And here is your host for Gulf Oil, Dan Seymour.
Courtroom drama reenacted. The defendants, six zany musicians, the corn cobblers, charged with disturbing the peace. Their defender, the Great Dane in person, Lawrence Melchior. You meet 1949's most celebrated teacher, Nobel Prize winner Hideki Yukawa. And hear the saga of Mr. Football himself, Coach Amos Alonzo Stagg. Yes, and along with the Oscar Bradley Orchestra, listen now to a voice from the future.
Calling all planets, we're speaking to you from the Rocket Bowl, broadcasting the Interplanetary Football Classic. Mars has just scored a touchdown. The score is tied. Earth 6, Mars 6. It's a game of Titan.
Could it happen? Are there really humans on the planet Mars? Listen now to Gulf Oil's next guest, our first of the evening, the famed astronomer Clyde Tombaugh.
Mr. Seymour, I don't know about football teams, but I believe there is life on Mars. I've seen it.
You've actually seen it, sir?
Through a telescope, I've seen green patches. I'm sure those patches mean plant life. I've also seen geometric lines which appear to be canals. Some scientists believe that the canals were formed by natural causes, but some do not.
Now, you mean they might have been made by humans?
By humans or unknown beings strangely like humans. Mars is fascinating to me. Almost as fascinating as the planet Pluto.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tombaugh is the only man alive who has actually discovered a new planet. In 1930, it was he who discovered Pluto.
For that, I can thank a great astronomer named Lowell. In 1905, he found that the movements of the planet Uranus were disturbed by a mysterious force. He decided that force was another planet, Planet X.
You mean a planet then unknown to man?
Yes. For 27 years, astronomers searched for it. Planet X had to be singled out from more than 15 million stars. It was like spotting a candle's light flickering 400 miles away.
And yet, you found that tiny light among millions of stars.
Yes. One afternoon in 1930, I was comparing photographs I had taken of a distant part of the sky. Suddenly, I jumped. The photographs showed that one dot had moved a million miles. Stars, I knew, scarcely move at all, but planets do. I checked, and there was no mistake. The dot was Planet X. Sunlight is very faint there. That's why we named it after the Greek god of darkness, Pluto.
At the age of 24, then, you solved one of the most thrilling mysteries of the universe, Doctor. Mr. Tombaugh, I know you're now doing rocket research for Army Ordnance at White Sand Proving Ground in New Mexico. Do you suppose we could take one of those rockets and sort of run up to Pluto?
Well, Mr. Seymour, it is 4 billion miles away. We need about 8 million gallons of Gulf gas for the trip.
Well, now, maybe it could be arranged. Incidentally, no chance of arranging a football game up there.
Not a chance. The entire planet is frozen solid. I think we'll have to leave Notre Dame home. But maybe we could take Sonia Haney instead.
Stories sung for the glittering audiences opening night at the Metropolitan Opera House. Love arias from Tristan, Tannhäuser, and Lohengrin, sung by the greatest heroic tenor of our time. But few know that he cherishes a romance of his own, a romance which, set to music, would make an opera comparable to the best. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Gulf Oil's next guest, Lawrence Melchior. Mr. Melchior, the American public is always intrigued by a story of a boy meets girl, so let's give them all the details.
To begin with, I'm the boy. I may not look it now, but I was once a boy.
And who was the girl?
Oh, she was a movie actress, and she still looked like a young girl.
At the time?
25 years ago.
The place?
Munich. I stayed in a house with a very large garden, which I used for my rehearsals. One day, when I was rehearsing my Wagner, I certainly could not hear my own voice.
Oh, why? What had happened?
An airplane flew over. Since I do not like to compete with motors, I stopped singing. When it had passed, I started over again, this time with a very beautiful song called For You Alone.
And then?
And while I am singing, a parachute drops down at my feet with a beautiful girl tied out to it.
A beautiful girl had jumped from a plane and with a parachute and landed at your feet?
That's exactly what happened. As I bent down to see if there was anything wrong, I still was singing, Take Thou These Rose. The girl gave me a puzzled look and said, please, I don't need a rose, I need help. So I unwrapped her and helped her into the house.
Well, now, Mr. Melchior, was she hurt?
Not a scratch. Then in the house, she asked me to finish the song.
Mr. Melchior, where is that girl now?
She's right down there in the audience. And I call her Kleinchen, that means little one. And now, as my wife, I like to do what I did for 25 years ago. Sing for her, for you alone.
Take all these roses, these little tender roses, ever flow in all God's garden fair, and let it be while yet it's crimson glows, an emblem of the love I proudly, proudly bear. Take all these hearts, a heart that loves thee well, and let it flame before thy sky, my own. Take thou these hearts, oh, you dear eyes fail. God fashioned it for thee alone. God fashioned it for thee.
A lot of you car owners face pretty rough going. Wet, muddy roads in the south, snow and slush in the north. So tonight, we'd like to show you some important reasons why it pays to have Gulf mud and snow tires on your car. First, traction. The exclusive tread is especially designed to take a firm hold in soft going or in snow. The 600 by 16 Gulf mud and snow tire has 42% greater tread depth than the conventional tire. And here's something else. The outer cleats run partway up the sidewall. So in deep snow or on a soft, muddy road, the more traction you need, the more you get. The Gulf Mud and Snow Tire has an extra wide tread, for instance. The 600 by 16 size is almost 17% wider than the conventional tire. So there's more biting tread on more ground area for better going. Stop at your Gulf dealers tomorrow for Gulf Mud and Snow Tires. They mean better traction, safer driving on winter roads. For the life of your car, go Gulf. 2,000 co-eds celebrating a day off. Who gave it to them? Columbia's famous professor, Gulf Oil's next guest, who measured the dimensions of the atom and won the 1949 Nobel Prize for Physics, Dr. Hideki Yukawa. I suppose, Dr. Yukawa, that when you got the news that you won the Nobel Prize, you gave your Columbia students the day off to share your happiness.
No, I gave them the day off because I could not teach. Messages came from many parts of the world. The excitement frightened me. If I ever win the Nobel Prize a second time, I am dead.
Dr. Yukawa, when did you first start to measure the dimensions of the atom?
15 years ago, in Kyoto University in Japan. When at night I was so tired from my studies, I could not sleep. Instead, I spent my time thinking. Sometimes I thought of a crazy thing. But one night I thought of something that is very unusual and true.
And ladies and gentlemen, that nighttime discovery was the theory of the meson, a previously unknown particle which holds the center of the atom together. It's startling to realize that Dr. Yukawa's discovery may yet unlock the secret to all the energy in the universe.
Yes, the meson, a tiny particle, but very important. I received congratulations from General Eisenhower, President of Columbia University, from my good friend, the American scientist, Oppenheimer and Einstein. But my two sons, they are not impressed.
Well now, why aren't your sons impressed, Dr. Yukawa?
The other day, a bookcase came to the house. It was in parts, and I could not put it together. I called my boys and told them to do it. They said, "Father, you have such a mechanical mind. Why do you not have mechanical hands?"
Well, Doctor, even if you can't fix bookcases, your family should be mighty proud of you as we are.
Thank you, Mr. Seymour. As a scientist, I am not searching for a new atom bomb. I devote myself to find new ways to benefit mankind. We are no more living only in Japan or France or England and America. We are living in one world. We scientists must work for peace. Peace for all the people of the world.
Was an All-American end in 1889, a coach for 41 years at the University of Chicago. Then they retired him for age, but he wouldn't stay retired. He couldn't come to us, so we went to him. We went down to Haverford, Pennsylvania for an exclusive interview. Listen as Gulf Oil brings you a football pioneer, 87 years young, celebrating his 60th anniversary as a coach, Amos Alonzo Stagg.
Well, it seems like I'm the last of the Mohicans. The great Rockne and Hurry Up Yost are gone. And some say I'm living on borrowed time, too. Well, if I am, I aim to keep borrowing for a long while yet.
You know, it seems sort of ironic that most of the officials who retired you in 1932 are now retired themselves while you're still going strong, sir.
Well, they wanted to give me an honorary position. But I had promised my creator in my youth that I would work with young men as long as I still had vitality. So I accepted the opportunity to coach at the College of the Pacific.
And under your leadership, this small college in Stockton, California, challenged and beat such powerhouses as California and UCLA. But then in 1946, you heard that old familiar song again, "Too Old, Mr. Stagg."
Yes, I was again asked to take an honorary position. I gave the same answer I had given 14 years before. Then I went to coach Susquehanna here in Pennsylvania. Only now I've got a partner, my son, Amos Alonzo Stagg, Jr.
And there again you said football history because you're the first father-son coaching combination, aren't you, Mr. Stagg, Jr.?
Yes. My father is like Old Man River. He has hardly changed in 30 years. He still demonstrates football technique, and he still has his partner, my mother.
An assistant coach, eh?
Yeah.
Your mother met your father when she was a co-ed at Chicago 55 years ago, didn't she?
Yes, she did. They were married, and he took her on his honeymoon, and along with him, he took the entire team.
Isn't that right?
California. Yes, I did. I took 16 boys along with me on my honeymoon.
The whole team on the honeymoon. How did that happen to come about?
Well, we were to play Stanford at San Francisco. And I took her along with the boys. I felt that trip was the only opportunity for a honeymoon we'd have.
Well, Mr. Stagg, during your own undergraduate career at Yale, you were an All-American player and you were studying for the ministry, weren't you?
Yes, but then I decided I was better fitted to teach boys from the athletic field instead.
And these men have credited you as one of the inspirations in their success.
If that's true, it's because they learned through football courage and perseverance. A man must learn also self-sacrifice to be worth his salt. Today, commercialism has spread like a disease on many college campuses. I myself would lose every game rather than pay a college athlete a penny. I have always taught that football is not an end in itself. It is only a training ground where boys can learn to be better men and better citizens of our great and beloved country.
One month ago, we the people heard an appeal from the creator of Perry Mason, famed mystery writer Earl Stanley Gardner. In behalf of Argosy Magazine's Court of Last Resort, we heard him plead for the freedom of a doomed man serving a life sentence for a murder he never committed. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight Gulf Oil's next guest is that man. A free man now, thanks to the help of Argosy's Court of Last Resort. Louis Gross, would you tell us your story, Mr. Gross?
It started on November 17, 1932, the day the police discovered the body of Matilda Abrahams, and who had been murdered. I spent 17 years in jail for that murder. And Mr. Seymour, I never met that man in my life.
You'd never met him, Mr. Gross?
No. I met his wife just once. The police arrested her and a friend of hers, a man named Sam Hazimi. 11 days later, they arrested me.
Well, now, why did they arrest you?
To this day, I don't know. They let Hazimi go. They said Mrs. Abrahams hired me to kill her husband, but they feed her, too.
Well, then how could they hold you, Mr. Gross?
Hazimi told the police that I had confessed to the murder. Later, he admitted the charge was trumped up, but I was sentenced to life in prison. I was only 34 years old. I thought I would go crazy, thinking of my wife and baby.
Well, wasn't there anything your wife or friends could do?
They tried, Mr. Seymour, but it takes money to fight, and we just didn't have any. After a year, I asked my wife to divorce me so she could try to build a life of her own.
And then you decided to study law as best you could to plead your own case. And finally, in 1943, I believe, you were allowed to appear before a court.
Yes, I had letters from a police captain and from the assistant prosecutor. Both believe I had been unjustly convicted.
But still, you weren't set free?
No, I was kept in jail for almost 7 years more. I got TB.
You got tuberculosis in jail?
Yes, and last January, while I was in a prison hospital, I heard about the Argosy magazine, the Court of Last Resort. I wrote them, so did my chaplain. They printed our letters.
And the response from the readers was so great that the prosecuting attorney, for the first time in the history of Michigan, moved to reopen the trial. All the records had disappeared. No trace of them. But this new trial took 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, Louis Gross was declared innocent and set free. Mr. Gross, do you have a theory as to who murdered Mortato Abrahams?
Yes, Mr. Seymour, I certainly do. He still walks in the streets of Detroit. A murderer who took away 17 years of my life. I am 51 years old now.
And what are your future plans, Mr. Gross?
First, I got to rest and regain my health. But even before that, I'd like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to the people who helped me. My years in prison seems like a terrible nightmare. I thank you all, and I thank God. At last, I am free.
You know, a little while ago, we showed some reasons why you can count on Gulf Mud and Snow tires to give you traction you'll need this winter. Now we'd like to point out some other advantages, too. Some other advantages that this great tire gives you. For instance, longer wear.
We have a big balancing scale on our Gulf stage tonight. On one side of the scale is the actual tread rubber stock used in a 600 by 16 Gulf Mud and Snow tire. On the other, the tread rubber stock used in a comparable conventional tire. Now, the tread rubber in this Gulf tire outweighs that in the conventional tire, of course. But notice by how much. 1 pound? 2 pounds? 3 pounds? Yes, more than 3 pounds of extra rubber. And that, plus the extra wide tread, means plenty of mileage. In fact, you city folks ought to be able to get several winters' use from a single pair of Gulf Mud and Snow tire.
Now, I'd like to point out, too, that many Gulf dealers offer substantial trade-in allowance. And if you have a Gulf credit card, you can buy a pair and pay for them in 3 equal monthly installments with no extra charge for this privilege. Remember, for greater traction, long mileage, get Gulf Mud and Snow tires tomorrow at your good Gulf dealers. This winter, for the life of your car, go Gulf.
Order in the court. The next case, the people of New York versus the corn cobblers. Defendants are charged with disturbing the peace by making noise with the following exhibits. Exhibit A, a gas pipe. Exhibit B, a duck quacker. Exhibit C, a washboard. How do you plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor. That ain't noise, that's music.
Music, you bet your life. Music was on trial the other day in Manhattan. Listen now to the story behind the Fifth Freedom, the freedom to make noise. Gulf Oil presents the musical men of destiny, the six corn cobblers. Stanley Fritz, spokesman.
Mr. Fritz, what were you doing on the night of October 23rd, 1949?
Wasn't doing nothing, just playing some music and a cop hauled us all in.
Now, to be more specific, weren't you driving up Broadway to the world-famous Iceland restaurant playing Pony Boy with a washboard, cowbells, horns, and a duck quacker?
Well, sure, that's the only way to play Pony Boy. After all, what is it without sound effects?
Uh-huh.
You know something? They give realism to music. I got an idea. How about us giving you a little sample?
All right, let's have it.
What do you say? Come on, boys. Now, here's what we was playing when that policeman had the nerve to call it noise. Come on, here we go.
I just wouldn't know what to call that.
Well, I know one thing, that we'd have sure been in the jug right now if it hadn't been for our star witness. And boy, he's a real pal of music, and I want you to meet him. By the way, he's an honorary corn cobbler now.
Really?
Lawrence Melchior.
Well, Mr. Melchior. And here he is, dressed just for the part. In blue jeans, straw hat, red neckerchief. Boy, oh boy, you really look like a corn cobbler. What did you tell the judge, Mr. Melchior?
Oh, I told the court that very often that music was living, the composer were living ahead of the time. When critics first heard Wagner's music, they called it noise. Mm. But later, Wagner was accepted. And now saw someone call him old-fashioned.
Well, pardon me, Mr. Melchior, but we sort of been whipping up a little arrangement here on a tune called Home and the Range. You know, we sure would be mighty proud if you'd join us.
I reckon, boys. I only hope we finish at the same time. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, with two old pipes around his neck, here comes the new honorary member of the Corn Cobblers with Home on the Range.
That's fine, Mr. Melchior.
Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard at Easter, a sing word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard at Easter, a sing word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We have had some fun, and now we can be a little serious, too. I think it's wonderful to belong to this country where people have freedom and expressing themselves as they like. This is a country that has a real sense of humor. Only here can we do like we have just done. Believe me, we have very much to be thankful for. Good night.
We the people speak.
Now, this is Dan Seymour inviting you to join us again next week to meet the man with a million friends, the Toastmaster General of the United States, George Jessel. And you'll meet the Texas Ranger of the Gridiron, the greatest forward passer in history, Slingin' Sammy Ball. All with the Oscar Bradley Orchestra next week. But now a message from Gulf.
Car owners, don't be fooled by mild fall weather. Winter is coming fast with bad driving conditions. Have Gulf mud and snow tires put on your car tomorrow. They run quietly, even on dry paved roads, thanks to a center riding bar and exclusive tread design. And you'll be set for the bad weather headed your way. Remember, if you have a Gulf credit card, you can pay for a set in 3 equal monthly installments with no extra charge for this privilege. Get Gulf mud and snow tires tomorrow at your good Gulf dealers.
Before we say goodnight, I'd like to just take a moment to read a telegram that makes all of us here feel very proud. It's to Dan Seymour, We the People, New York City. The Newark, New Jersey Star-Ledger has chosen We the People as the outstanding human interest television and radio program of 1949. Congratulations to your sponsor, the Gulf Oil Company, and We the People. Gentlemen, We the People, thank you. And don't forget to join us again next week to meet Georgie Jessel and Sammy Ball, all with the Oscar Bradley Orchestra from the Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood Good Gulf Theater present We the People.
For the life of your car, go, go!
Now, William Bendix stars in The Life of Riley on NBC.